Are you ready or what?
Why don't you switch on the radio?
Give the people what they want, and they go away happy.
It's the opposite of fabulous. You know what I'm saying? It's the synonym of ridiculous.
Okay, I get it. I ain't pleasant to look at.
Or listen to.
Or be with.
How do we allow them to have a radio station?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host.
It's the Joe and Alex Show.
It's showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Hello and good morning. It is the Joe and Alex Show, Monday, the 20th of August, and chance of rain and storms pretty much later in the afternoon, mainly almost evening time is what we're looking at, and going into the overnight. But I guess this is a decent way to start out your week. How are you doing today, Alex?
I'm good. I had a weird weekend. It was good because I got to go to the Indiana Dunes State Park and be on the beach there at Lake Michigan, which is beautiful. Then while I was there, two kids died.
I was going to send you the story to see if that happened. Yeah, they had a problem on Saturday, and one died. Then the other boy passed away from that on Sunday. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope Alex
was literally
okay
there
in the water. Wow, did you see like the rescuers and stuff?
I saw the rescuers.
Oh my gosh.
But I didn't know what was going on until I saw the story. Like we were leaving right as the ambulances and all these different paramedics and stuff were like running on the beach. So I didn't know what was going on because it was down far enough to where like I could see a crowd was formed. There was a huge crowd of people, but I couldn't see obviously like beyond the crowd like what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if like someone older had a heart attack or whatever. I obviously didn't think that it was a child, so that was super sad. And so that happened. Otherwise the day was great, and then I had a pretty good weekend, and then I'm driving home, and then I cracked my windshield because somebody's freaking spark plug apparently is on the road, which came up and cracked my windshield. So now I have that.
Wow.
And then
you
I got
are
home.
Not allowed to drive. Let me just say that.
It's
you
not
are no
me.
Longer allowed to drive.
It's
you
not me. It's Indiana roads, let me tell you. And then whenever I got home in my apartment, which my boyfriend, the Egyptian, is gone for 2 weeks in Europe. So like I have nobody, and my parents live in Brownsburg and I live in Fisher. So I don't have anyone like around me close enough to like pop over to my apartment with him gone.
Okay.
And I walked in and there was a giant like beetle bug thing. So I had to just spray it with a bunch of stuff and let it die.
Wait. What did you spray this beetle bug with? What were the things you used to kill it?
Like hairspray and stuff.
Did you try to light it on fire?
No, I didn't try to do that. And so it curled up and died, but I refused to touch it. So now I've got like a little space I've left for it to just sit there until the Egyptian comes home, and then he can take care of it.
He's not going to be home for
another week. I know. Well, his corpse is going to sit there.
You don't have a broom?
So there's been a lot of deaths surrounding me, so it's been kind of strange.
Well, I saw, I don't know if it leads to death or what, but I'm not proud of this. Remember how I told you last week I almost got hit because somebody ran a red light?
Yes.
This morning, go out. There's a black cat right in front of my car. I don't even see it until I turn my car on. There's a
Yikes.
Headlight.
It's not even October yet.
I know. And I'm like, okay, I don't think I'm too superstitious, but for some reason I had a feeling come over me. And I'm like, okay, be cautious when you're going. And I just started doing something new, trying just, I guess, to maximize my time. I was listening to an audiobook just like on my phone, you know, like as I'm driving, and I thought I was paying attention. I go right by the Indiana State Fairgrounds. I ran a red light.
Oh
and
my god!
I noticed it, and I put on my brakes, and I was already almost through the light. I'm like,
yikes!
Wow.
You could have killed somebody.
No kidding. And I'm like,
what was the book?
Oh, it's, oh my God, Leaders Eat Last or something. I don't know. It's something
okay.
I saw somebody, that radio thing we went to, they're like, hey, this is a good book you should check out. I'm like,
okay.
So I'm like, I'm going to try this audiobook thing. And besides running a red light this morning, it's been going really well.
Oh, that's good. It must be a good book if you're like not even able to pay attention.
Hey, I'm just going to drive through everything. So it was, my weekend was fun. I got to go to Evansville, Indiana. Actually, it's where I worked at before I came to work with you here in Indy. And I got to see my good buddy, Eric. He got married. He was a weather guy down there, and he's actually from Michigan too, so we had a small little connection, and he got married, but I don't think he likes me.
Like, what?
I don't even think he wanted to invite me to the wedding.
Okay, why in the world do you say that? Because why would he have invited you? You don't even live there anymore. It would have been easy not to invite you.
Well, here's what's awkward. There's actually, this is the one thing I can't say on air, but I was surprised who was invited to the wedding. How about that?
Okay.
But that's a different story, but I think about it. I don't want him or his now wife to hear this. The thing that was weird, Alex, we were at table 20, which doesn't mean anything with a number reference, but we were in the far back corner.
Yikes.
Over here, there was a couple of like pylons.
You were way back there. It was like he didn't want you to see them or them to see you.
Exactly. And now, we'd like to introduce.
I'm like, that's awkward.
It was so far away. And not that I'm an alcoholic, but there was an open bar. I just wanted to get a little bit of a buzz on. I swear, no matter, I saw him pouring. I think we might have had water in there instead of vodka. And my buddy said this too, because everything just tasted like tonic or soda water.
Ooh.
So I'm like, wait a minute, what kind of a operation are you running here? But besides being put into another room in the country club.
So did they talk to you, or did they like never talk to you once?
They avoided. No, I'm just kidding. They talk to me. Yes, it's hard. Like, if you ever get married one day, I don't know if you've been to plenty of weddings, don't worry about saying hi to everybody, or maybe have a receiving line, because there's no way you can say hi to everybody. You should enjoy your wedding night, because they were going table to table. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. I'm like, I remember doing that at my wedding, and I don't even think
yeah.
I got
I'm
to
not
have,
looking forward to that.
I don't think I just do a receiving line. Shake everybody's hand like you're, you know, the president or something like that. Then Purell it off. And if you don't see anybody the rest of the night,
bye.
Hey, you were in the line. Thank you. Make sure you leave a nice gift card. So it was fun, though. The food was great. I got to see some friends. I got to go to my old church. So I had a good time. Overall, it was a good weekend. But I'm sure as hell avoiding Alex, because she's the bad luck. And
yeah, I guess I'm the Grim Reaper.
Knocking on wood here that black cat doesn't follow me anymore. So follow us, though. Joe and Alex Show on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Joe and Alex Show. And you can also follow us. We do Facebook at Radio Now 100.9.
It's the Joe and Alex Show.
Who cares about this garbage?
The New York Times is reporting that Asia Argento, one of the first public accusers of Hollywood sleazeball Harvey Weinstein, settled a sexual assault claim of her own with a then underage child actor. According to the report, Argento, a leading voice of the hashtag MeToo movement, had sex with the boy, Jimmy Bennett, at a hotel in Marina Del Rey, California, when he was only 17 years old. She was 37. Age of consent in California is 18. Argento allegedly paid him $380,000 as part of a settlement to keep quiet. She met him when he was only 7, and they worked on a movie together where she played his mom in The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things. Demi Lovato's backup dancer is denying giving the confidence singer drugs before her overdose. Danny Vitale wrote on Instagram, "I've never touched nor even seen a drug in my entire life. I do not do drugs, nor would I ever encourage or supply them to anyone I love." The dancer went on to explain how rumors that she had supplied Lovato with drugs ruined her life, saying, "I wound up not leaving my house or bed for 3 weeks." Lovato attended her 28th birthday party on July 23rd, just hours before she overdosed at her home in L.A. Director Peter Berg says his documentary about Rihanna's rise to fame could be in theaters in about a month and a half. Plans for the film were reported in 2015. During a recent interview, he said, "I think she's an extraordinary young woman, and this is going to be a kind of a pretty comprehensive profile of what goes on in making the talent that she is. The work ethic, the talent, the luck, the hustle, the vision. She's a really, really interesting woman, and the movie will be out in about a month and a half. 2 months, we'll be able to start showing it."
I would like to see that, especially if it has like younger footage of her as a girl.
Yeah.
That's really cool to me.
Marky Mark and his brothers, Donnie and Paul Wahlberg, are bringing their burger joint to the Indianapolis area, where they will film episodes of the TV show that shares the restaurant's name, Wahlburgers, on A&E. The celebrities will be on hand for the restaurant's opening next summer. Wahlburgers will open a location somewhere in the Indy area, but the firm has not yet said where. The developer's website lists a site in Carmel with over 5,800 square feet of space available. The show follows the dining escapades of Mark, Donnie, and Paul. Their mother, Alma, also appears on the show. She's a mother of 9. The menu is stacked with burger options, sandwiches, and salads, and it also includes items from her recipe book. The Carmel location, fueling speculation, is near the Meyer on West Carmel Drive.
Ooh, nom nom nom.
Kevin Spacey's new movie only took in $126 in its opening day. Billionaire Boys Club quietly opened Friday in 8 theaters across the U.S. The crime drama earned just $126 for the day and another $162 on Saturday for a 2-day total of just $287.
I think more concession stuff was bought than movie ticket money.
I think so, too. He was accused, of course, last fall of sexual assault by a number of men and young boys, but the movie distributor decided to go ahead and release it. Ariana Grande broke down crying as she opened up about the impact of the Manchester Arena bombing that it had on her life. When asked about her track Get Well Soon from her Sweetener album and the importance of it to her in relation to last year's terror attack, she instantly started tearing up.
You know, it's just about like just being there for each other and like helping each other through scary times and like anxiety. And, you know, some dark there, man. But we just have to like be there for each other as much as we can, because you never know, you know?
Really sad. That is the garbage.
Time for Joe's Need to Know News. Here we go. Today is a special day, Alex. Do you know what day it is?
know, Monday?
Correct. It is a Monday, but it's also National Radio Day.
I thought that was yesterday.
You thought wrong. No, it's actually today. According to a new survey, 2 out of 3 people listen to the radio every day. Hey, thank you for doing that. 71% of people listen to the radio in their car, 56% of women, and 35% of men sing along to the radio. Wow. Did you know that? I didn't know that. No, shout out to you, though, really. If you do listen to the show, we appreciate it. Maybe tell your friends. And, of course, if you missed the show, you can always check out our podcast, RadioNowIndy.com. Longtime Colts play-by-play man Bob Lamy has retired after 32 years with the team. Tonight, the Colts kick off the preseason, by the way. They're playing at home versus the Baltimore Ravens. So that game's at 8 o'clock, and I believe it's on ESPN tonight. If you're not going to the game, you might be able to watch it there. Couple of stories which make me not ever want to go into the ocean. How about this? A British woman was pulled from the Adriatic Sea 10 hours after falling from a cruise ship. This isn't an old story. Remember I talked about this a month or two ago about somebody falling off?
I think so, yeah.
Another person fell off a cruise ship and was in the ocean or the sea for 10 hours. She says she survived the ordeal by singing and her yoga fitness. The woman named Kay fell from the 7th deck. Okay.
Oh, my word.
I assume a deck's 10 feet? Can we be safe and say it's like 70 feet?
Yeah.
Something like that. And yeah, she fell from there 60 miles off the Croatian coast as it headed towards Venice on Saturday.
Wow.
Here's her actually talking about what happened.
I fell off the back of the Norwegian Star. Okay. And I was in the water for 10 hours.
Okay.
So these wonderful guys rescued me.
Your name is?
Kay. I am very lucky to be alive.
Kay from?
From England.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 46. And I was sitting at the back of the deck.
Okay,
it was bad.
And I think some wine or alcohol might have been involved there. You know, it wasn't like a suicide
I can't believe
attempt,
she didn't get eaten by a shark.
Well, I mean, well, think about it, though. What are the odds a shark's going to be in that exact location, how big the sea is?
I guess that's a good point.
But thank God she's alive. But wait, there's more. A husband and a wife were sailing in Rhode Island on Friday when she fell off the boat. All right, guys, we got to quit trying to murder our wives by pushing them off a boat. I can tell
Come
what's
on.
Happening here.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Alex. He didn't even notice that she fell off. She swam to an island, but the Coast Guard didn't head out to rescue her until several hours later when her husband's like, wait a minute, my wife's missing.
Oh, my gosh.
You know he's in the doghouse, right?
Yeah.
She wound up with mild hypothermia, but other than that, should make a full recovery.
Wow, they are lucky.
No, it's just insane. Al Sharpton, he screwed up terribly. He was talking about Aretha Franklin, and he was on MSNBC's Politics Nation, and he hosts that, and he called on President Trump to be respectful in his comments towards women, but inadvertently misquoted Aretha Franklin. So here's what happened. I just feel so bad. It's like, dude.
You know what they say about payback? It's a real, well, you, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Okay. Yeah.
Excuse me? Hold on. I want to hear
Who
that again.
Who in the world? Like, banana Hold and on. Respect are the two words no one should misspell because of these songs.
I might have heard them wrong. Hold on.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
No, he said I.
Okay.
What you
Yeah. Kind of awkward right there.
That is so awkward.
That's something I would do. Thank God nobody expects us to actually be intelligent and to know what we're saying here on the show.
So dumb.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
No.
Put some respect on my name.
Some respect.
All right. Do you ever play Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, I own it.
Okay, this is cool news. You might want to actually try to apply for this job. Make some decent cash. Cards Against Humanity is hiring. The job pays $40 an hour, and you'll be able to work remotely from home. So do the show.
Okay.
Go home and make the cards. They want you to send in your best 15 white cards.
Oh, my gosh. I am designed for this job.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm so good at this.
And 5 best black cards. You got until August 31st, so you got about 11 more days to go. They say people from historically marginalized communities are encouraged to apply, too, particularly people of color, immigrants, and members of the LGBTQ community.
Well, now I'm out.
No, well, they're encouraging that. Doesn't mean they won't take some little white girl either. They say, see the cards. You can actually see the cards against humanity job listing. I posted up on the Need to Know News blog at RadioNowIndy.com. We talked about some tomb goo. Remember that our esophagus or whatever that guy was?
Oh, mummy juice.
Yeah, the mummy juice. Well, archaeologists just found some cheese. It's about 3,200 years old in an Egyptian tomb.
All right. You know what?
And Egyptians, people want it.
And I'm calling out my boyfriend.
Oh.
What the? the heck is going on?
Wait a minute. He's gone right now. Where is he?
He's in Europe.
Does he like cheese?
He does.
I think he's lying to you. He's trying to do a little cheese tour.
Well, when the article first came out talking about how they want to drink the dead corpse sludge from the mummy tombs, I sent it to his mom. I said, hey, please don't make me this to drink if I come over. She thought that was funny.
Well, that's what we do with grandma and grandpa.
Right.
We keep them around.
She was like, shake my head.
There's no petition to eat it yet, but there are a lot of people on social media saying, man, I want to taste it. Well, here's the thing. It's a bad idea. That cheese is actually contaminated with bacteria.
You think?
That they say would definitely kill you.
Okay. Yeah, we just make a rule? We just make a golden rule. We're not going to eat anything from anyone's grave. How about that?
You don't want no gram juice?
No mummy juice and no mummy cheese and nothing else.
And to go with your mummy cheese, let me give you one more story for Need to Know News. There's a restaurant in Mexico City that they just got busted for serving tacos.
Why?
It was made with tarantula meat.
All right. Goodbye. I'm done.
But it was a special tarantula.
I don't want to hear about it.
Hold on. You haven't heard the name of the tarantula. It's the Mexican red rump tarantula.
Stop. I don't.
You got a big
fine
red rump. Won't you back that thing up?
Did they not tell people what they were actually serving them?
I don't know. I think some people wanted it. It's actually a protected species. The authorities in Mexico busted the restaurant for selling it a tarantula last week after they posted a video online of the chef using a homemade blowtorch to blacken one of the spiders.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
You got a real fine red rump. Won't you back the thing up?
Shut it down.
Tarantula, won't you back that thing up?
No.
All right. You can see all this and more online, radionowindy.com. That is Joe's Need to Know News. It's time to celebrate amazing people. Your chance right now to win Miguel tickets. And we got your chance also to get qualified for a J-Lo Vegas flyaway to Planet Hollywood in Vegas. Let's get somebody on the phone to play a little game today. Let's go to line number 8, Jackie. Hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good.
What was the best part of your weekend, Jackie?
Best part of my weekend? I don't know. I had a root canal yesterday.
Yikes.
Oh, that is the opposite of the best part. You sound pretty good today, though.
I didn't feel any pain, so.
Do you feel any pain now, either? They still got you numbed up?
No. Yeah, I've been taking my meds.
Do you have to have soup, or what do you have to eat?
I don't know. I've been eating fine. It's kind of weird.
Wow.
Do you sure they did anything or just gave you laughing gas and charged like
$1,000? Yeah. What if they did that too?
They did something.
I go, yeah, we gave you 2 root canals. That'll be $2,000. But we're glad you're feeling good, and hopefully we can get you those Miguel tickets right now and get you qualified for a J-Lo Vegas flyaway. We're going to play Name That Jenny, one of the most creative games ever done in radio. I'm going to give you a clue, and you have to tell us who that Jenny or Jennifer is, okay? You get 3 out of 5 right, you get to see Miguel and get qualified to see J-Lo in Vegas.
Okay.
All right. First one. She starred as Katniss Everdeen in the Hunger Games films. And she's my crush.
I want to say that. I can't think of her name. Jennifer.
You're halfway there.
I don't know her last name.
Come on. You can do it.
I have no clue.
I'm going to give you 3, 2.
I don't know.
We'll have to go to somebody else.
Oh, man. Wait, don't hang up on her.
I
said 3 out of 5.
Oh, okay, good.
Alex, she went through a root canal. Let the
For some reason, I thought it was only one, and then you have to go to the next person. So that's good.
All right, Jackie, let's see here. If you get this next one. She created a famous weight loss and nutrition company. Name that Jenny.
Oh, my God. I'm sick of this game.
Think about it.
I know who it is. It's a brown. She has brown hair, but I don't know her name. I'm so bad at names.
The name is everything. What weight loss company has Jenny in it?
Jenny. I don't even know. I probably don't know this one either.
3, 2.
I don't know.
People are screaming in their cars right now. Right. Screaming.
All right, Jackie, I'm actually going to hold on to the answer, so I'm going to have to use that one again. Let's see. You have to get this next one right or we go to somebody else, because there's no way you can win. She was the 1993 Playmate of the Year and married Donnie Wahlberger.
Wahlberg. That is Jenny McCarthy.
Redemption
at the end.
She knows her nudity. All right, let's see. You got to get these next two. Got to get these next two right here. She starred in I Know What You Did Last Summer and was on Party of Five and Ghost Whisperer. Can you name that Jenny?
Is it Jennifer Lovett or Jennifer, is that her name?
You tell me what you think her name is.
Jennifer Lovett or Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I'll take there that. You just had to work through it.
There you go.
Is anybody else on an emotional roller coaster right now?
Because
I thought you were done, but now you're still there.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay.
All right. Jackie, you had a root canal yesterday. You deserve to see Miguel, and you deserve a chance to fly away to see J-Lo in Vegas. Let's get this last one right. She played Rachel on Friends and was once married to Brad Pitt. Name that Jenny.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah!
There it is, yes! Right there.
Way to go!
Yeah.
These are two concerts that I am dying to go to.
Yeah, same.
I'm afraid to go see Miguel in concert, though. I don't want him to run and like land on me like that. Be that a VMA performance?
Yeah, that was awkward.
Still, I don't know. Maybe she liked the junk in the face. But hey, congratulations! You're qualified to go fly to Vegas to see J-Lo, and we're hooking up this morning with tickets to go see Miguel. So way to go!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Miguel is my sexy time music. Like when I am in the mood, I put this on. Yes.
What do you mean the mood? You're like waiting till you're married.
I mean, I get in the mood. I don't act on it, but I get in the mood.
So okay. Wait, you tease yourself?
Yes. Miguel teases my mind.
I love Miguel.
Miguel, his music just goes in and out of my ear holes slowly. Aggressively.
Oh, gosh.
But gently.
Is there anything in there? Is there any resistance? Oh, my gosh. All right. Hey, you can win Miguel tickets and qualify for that J-Lo flyaway same time tomorrow here on the Joe and Alex Show. All right. Well, Liv, I don't think she's a terrible driver, but she's finally legal, which is nice here in the wonderful state of Indy. Indiana. Liv, you are not the topic of discussion this morning, though. And neither am I, even though I accidentally ran a red light this morning. So
accidentally.
No, I totally did. You missed it. But I was listening to an audiobook on the way into work and actually saw a black cat that was in front of me when I was leaving home. And I said, Joe, be aware of stuff. But I got distracted. I was listening to an audiobook on my phone,
right,
like through my Bluetooth. And I just went right by the state fairgrounds, which is a high traffic area. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just ran through a red light.
That's dangerous.
But that's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about Alex.
Yeah,
and
somehow
her
I'm the bad driver.
I think you might be. happened to you?
You are a terrible driver. I'm a great driver. The roads are terrible. I've never ran through a red light or anything like that.
You didn't get pulled for doing like 95 or so on the highway.
Yeah, I've speed, but I've never wrecked and I've never hit anybody with my car. So it is not my fault. It's the roads here. And let me just tell you something. I'm just going to be real frank, and I probably shouldn't be saying this, but here's the truth. You want the tea? Here's the tea. I'll pour it out for you. If you like this show, and if you like me at all, and you want me to stay in Indianapolis and do this show, then fix the roads!
What's wrong with the roads?
They are garbage. Garbage. I have gone through three sets. Three, one, two, three, uno, dos, tres sets of tires.
Oh,
since I've lived
Spanish
here for 2 years, okay? I've gone through two cracked windshields since I've lived here for the last 2 years. In all my years of driving, living in southern Indiana and living in Louisville, I have never, ever, ever gotten a one flat tire, one issue, one cracked windshield, nothing.
That
but somehow
sounds like
living here.
Driver error.
No,
me.
It's not driver error. It's the roads. It's the potholes. And because of the potholes, other people are wrecking their cars and losing stuff on their cars or whatever, which is why yesterday driving, somehow somebody lost a freaking spark plug. So it hit my car and hit my windshield, and now I have a cracked windshield that I'm going to have to replace, which is fantastic. I'm so happy. Let me just tell you how much I love spending all this extra money on my car that I shouldn't have to spend.
Local
government would spend some time on the roads.
Why aren't you avoiding the potholes? Like, why are you running them over?
Yeah,
that's
I try.
What I was gonna say.
I constantly try. You have to be in the car with me, even when I'm with somebody else driving. My boyfriend, the Egyptian, can attest to this, is that I am constantly like, pothole, watch out. Like, I am on the lookout for potholes. I have like a telescope eye looking out for those things.
I think your telescope might be broken if you've went through three tires. You're saying
some of them are unavoidable.
You say you've went through three sets. You've went through 12 tires.
Yes. And you know what?
Actual audio of Alex driving down 465.
That it's where I don't know where I go. I can't remember what the name is, but the tire place that I've been going to, they definitely can tell you, because every single time I come in for another tire, they're like, "Really? We just replaced it."
You sure?
I'm like, I know.
I kind of want to know where you're going, because like they can't plug the tire for you. What are you? Are you hitting these like in the sidewall? I don't understand like how you're replacing 12 tires.
I don't know either. I literally don't know either. And I'm so over it. And so what I'm saying to you is, if you are somebody that listens to our show and you like listening to me at least 70% of the time, then...
I was going to say, don't say this, because now people are going to start throwing stuff in the road wherever you drive. Like, yes. Where does she drive again?
So if you like it and you work for the roads, please fix them.
I'm not going to lie. I was just about to say how much better the Indiana roads have been.
Yeah, my roads have been
lately.
Good. Like, shout out to all you construction men and women out there, because my ride's been pretty smooth.
Well, I don't know if it's because I live all the way up in Fisher, so I have more a highway to go on than you guys or what.
Maybe
but
it's
it is
sabotage.
Garbage.
Maybe it's like people know where you live, so they like are... like purposely putting potholes in your route.
And that's the thing, is I feel like, okay, you know, you drive the same route every day, you know where they are, and somehow you still hit them because they pop up, they appear. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I don't get the concept. Like, I've hit a pothole before, but like, I try to be like, okay, like coming in from where I'm in Broad Ripple down Meridian, I'm like, okay, there's a pothole kind of here by this light, by the car wash place. I need to make sure I either go a little left or a little right. And I haven't hit it since.
I like to travel, okay? I've been to a lot of different places and I've driven a lot of different places, and no one has crappier roads than Indiana. And I am so over it. I can't even tell you. I'm so over it. What I really need is a new car, because it has been so jacked up and down from these roads. I'm dead serious. I've had to fix my alignment. I've had to do all kinds of crap.
I think you're the only one, unfortunately. Like, nobody's really chiming in on this.
I desperately need a new car just in general because of all the stuff that's been done to it. So if you have one, if you work for the roads, please fix them more than they already are. I know that there has been improvement since winter, but it's still not all the way there. And two, if you own a dealership and you would love to give me a car to promote on the air, I would do that.
Yeah.
I'll drive anything.
Just make sure you have a lot of extra tires and wheels around, okay?
I'll drive a PT Cruiser, okay?
Wait, with the wood paneling?
Yes.
Don't go that far.
Wow, she is desperate.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana is a nonprofit that receives no government funding. The entire program is run off donations. They are responsible for the arrest of over 5,000 criminals in Indianapolis alone. All donations are tax deductible. Help keep Indianapolis safe by donating online. The website is crimetips.org. Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers in the house, and I hear today the murder involves praying?
Yes, in a church.
How do you get killed in a church?
And before we get into the murder, we have an announcement too. This is your last Murder Monday with us,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am passing the baton to you, Alex.
Oh my.
Yeah, I'm just going to take some time. I'm doing a lot with the podcast right now, doing a lot of true crime stuff there. Going to focus on that, but like, girl, you've been crushing it the last few weeks, so you got this.
Well, thank you very much. We have absolutely loved having you
thank
on for the
you.
Last year that we've started doing Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show, and you've done awesome, and
thank
everyone
you.
Has really enjoyed having you on, and we can still have you on for special occasions
oh,
or something,
sure,
right?
For sure, I'll be back.
Great. So let's get into the newlywed murdered in church.
Ooh, okay, guys. So this one takes place in the early 70s. There were two young people named Arliss and Bruce, and they were high school sweethearts in North Dakota, totally in love with each other, totally committed to one another. But Bruce had actually already committed to going to Stanford when they had started dating. So his first year of college and her first year of college, he leaves to go out to California, and Arliss stays behind. And she goes to a local school and she works, and they try this long distance thing for a while. But girl, it's like the 70s. They had like long distance phone calls that cost a fortune, maybe some letters. It was hard. So they end up deciding after the first year that they're going to get married, so that way she can go back to California with him, and they're able to live in a dorm for married couples. And Bruce goes back for his second year, finishes, is doing his pre-med, and Arliss gets a job as a receptionist at a law firm to bring in some extra money. Well, just a few weeks after they had gotten back to campus, on a late evening in October, at about 11:30, the couple decides to go for a walk across campus to drop some letters off in a mailbox, all these letters they'd written back home to friends and family. And they walk and they talk and they start to bicker like a young married couple would do. And it's like about the dumbest thing. It was whose responsibility was it to put air in their car tires?
Oh, man. We've all been there.
Sounds like Alex. I have another flat tire. Can you put some air in it, please?
Yeah, exactly. So they're bickering, and it's just like this dumb little thing is getting out of control, and Arliss is getting really frustrated, and they're about to pass the Stanford Church, and Arliss was very religious, and she wanted to go in and pray, and so she tells Bruce, you know what, you just go home, like, I don't want to be around you right now, I want to be alone, let me go pray, and he's more than happy to, he's like, fine, I'll see you there. So Bruce gets home and he starts doing something that I do all the time where I like am preparing to fight and I'm like, okay, he's gonna say this and then I'm gonna come back with this.
You're rehearsing.
Yeah, oh
the
yeah.
The woman's battle plan here.
So he's like getting ready for this and so he's any minute she's gonna walk in the door and he knows exactly what he's gonna say. But midnight rolls around, 12:10 rolls around, 12:15, and he's expecting her because he knows the church closes at midnight. And when she doesn't come home, he decides, okay, I'm going to go walk the campus. Like, she has to still be at the church. She has to be walking home. And he expects to see her on his walk there. But he gets all the way to the church, and it's completely locked, completely dark. He checks the side door. He checks the back door. He sees nothing. And he decides then to just kind of roam campus for a while, seeing if he sees her anywhere. Maybe she was burning off steam, but nothing. Finally, at 3:00 in the morning, he calls police, and police send a security guard to the church because he's thinking maybe she like fell asleep and got locked in.
Yeah.
Campus security gets to the church and does the same kind of check. All of the doors, all of the windows, everything seems dark. They don't actually go inside, which was a huge mistake.
Oh, no.
So Bruce is just sitting at home waiting. Now, all through the night, the security guard had been checking the building, not just the one time that Bruce called. Every couple of hours, it's his job to regularly go around and patrol. Well, at 5:30, the security officer does his normal round, and this time, he finds that the side door to the church is open. And it had just been closed at like 3:30 when he had gone to look. So he enters the door to investigate. He goes inside, moves towards the altar, and everything seems to be untouched. Nothing is stolen, nothing has been vandalized. And that's when he saw her. On the left side of the church, where Arliss had been seen praying just 5.5 hours earlier, was her body. And I have a picture on my Instagram, at Indie Ash Flowers. You can see where her body was laying behind the pew. She was naked from the waist down, with her pants just draped over her legs. She'd been beaten, she'd been choked, but that's not what killed her. Whoever killed her had brought an ice pick with them. And the ice pick was lodged in the side of her head, behind her left ear. Now, this is all horrific enough, but her body had been arranged in a very strange way. Her blouse was ripped open, and normally there are two altar candles, and she had one of the candles held between her breasts, and the other 30-inch altar candle had been inserted inside of her.
Oh my Whoa. Gosh!
When police go to notify her husband, he immediately becomes a suspect because when he opens the door, he is covered in blood.
What?
Oh my gosh.
We're supposed to take a break?
No.
All right, we will continue. Murder Monday. That's a heck of a cliffhanger. Next on the Joe and Alex Show.
She was found in the church. She had been stabbed in the head with an ice pick after she had been beaten, after she had been choked. She has a candle held between her breasts, a candle, a 30-inch candle. I can't say a candle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A candle
inserted in her. And when police go to notify her husband that she's been found, because remember, he called in and said she was missing, they open the door to him covered in blood.
Now I'm very interested on how that happened.
So police are ready to like put the cuffs on him and like call it a day. But he insists that he has an explanation for this. He says, whenever I'm super stressed out, I get crazy nosebleeds, like a faucet. And it sounds super like, okay, I bet you do. But they tested the blood, and it totally was his.
Oh, my word.
Like, the most...
It sucks to be him. He's like, please stop bleeding. Please stop bleeding. Please.
The most, like, unreasonable. And even as he was getting the nosebleed, I'm sure he didn't think, like, oh, my wife's going to be found murdered. He thought they were fighting, and she was pissed off. But no, covered in blood. It was his own. He even took a polygraph, and it ends up ruling him out.
Wow.
So when police were looking for suspects, they really didn't know what to like look for. This seemed like super personal. It almost seems like very like a sexually deviant person. But to note, as weird as this was and as sexual as it seems, Arliss had not been raped.
I was just going to say, that was really the only sexual component was the candles, right?
Right. So she had been sodomized. And what it seemed like, though, is because they found some semen on an altar pillow next to her. So this person did all this to her and then pleasured themselves to it is what it looks like.
Wow.
So now they have this DNA and they can test for like, you know, blood type, but they don't have the technology to say who it belongs to. So even though they have this like sample of DNA, they can't do anything with it. The only evidence that they had was a palm print on the candle that was put inside Arliss. And they test this palm print against the only two real suspects that they had at the time, her husband and the security guard that found her, and neither one of them were a match. So when the medical examiner did an exam, he found that Arliss had died around midnight, which is kind of interesting because we know the security guard locked up around then. That's when the church closed. We know that he did his checks throughout the night, so that means when her husband went to the church around 12:30, like banging on the door looking for her, she was likely inside with her killer at the time when her husband was just outside the door.
That's chilling.
Now, we know that all the doors were closed, so after the security guard came at 3:30, when Bruce had called the police, what we have to think is that that scared him off. So he was with her body for like 3 hours. And then when the security guard came banging on, seeing if anyone's there, then that person busted out because the side door looked like it was busted out from the inside. They keep looking for any kind of suspects, but there are hardly any. Her husband was totally ruled out. The security guard seemed to be ruled out because his handprint wasn't on the candle. And she didn't really have any friends in the area because she had just moved there a couple of weeks ago. But
it sounds like wrong place, wrong time.
Well, one of her coworkers comes forward and says that the day before she was murdered, Arliss had a man visit her at work. And at the time, she thought this man was her husband. She'd never met her husband before. And this guy comes, they spend about 15 minutes talking, and she said it looked really intense. And then the guy left. Now, she didn't realize that this man wasn't her husband until Arliss's memorial service, when she actually saw Bruce for the first time and realized that's not the guy that came into the office. Now, she described him as a guy in his early 20s with sandy blonde hair, and later when police did interviews, there were witnesses the night of Arliss's murder that said there was a man who walked in the church after her that also fit this description really well. Now, this wasn't really investigated. They didn't track down any guy who matched this description, but I have to think it was kind of hard. You're talking California in the 70s, so you're looking for a 20-something guy on a college campus with blonde hair.
Not a lot of those there, huh?
Right, so they didn't really go anywhere with that. The second theory that they tried out was, like I said, she was really religious, and there were some rumors that when she was back in North Dakota, she was trying to minister to this satanic cult.
Ooh.
So then people start thinking maybe they followed her out here.
Yeah.
Like, a lot about her murder seemed kind of satanic with the candles and the church, but they, again, couldn't link it to anything. So her husband's ruled out, you got the security guard ruled out, the satanic cult is ruled out. They had nothing, and nothing seemed to fit. And this case went cold for over 40 years.
I just assume by then it's not going to be solved. There's no way.
I think everyone thought that. However, police had always kept one eye on that security guard, the guy who found her. Something just didn't sit right with them. So in 1992, they actually found out that this security guard had been stealing from the university. He used his position to go in their like museums or in their libraries and steal not just random things, but like very important artifacts to the university. And when they went in his apartment in 1992, he had his walls like covered in bronze statues and like, it was like a museum.
That doesn't even make sense for what he does for a living. He couldn't afford all that.
No, so it was super obvious that he had been stealing. He ended up getting fired. And now they couldn't use this to tie him to the murder. But as technology advanced, so did the pressure. And in 2016, police finally realized, okay, we should go back and test this DNA. So they go talk to the security guard again. And they now have the technology. So his story didn't change, but they kind of let him know, like, hey, you're back on our radar. We've got this sample, and we're going to test against it. Now, they did the sample.
Why did they wait till 2016? Because DNA testing became available in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. There's such a backlog of cold cases that there are some that sit there for decades and decades. Because all the new ones coming in are getting tested. Yeah. And you just have to, like, pick and choose between the old ones. So they do this test, and sure enough, the sample on the pillow next to Arliss's body was a match to this guy. So they go to his apartment, they knock on his door, and he calls out, just 1 second, I'm getting dressed. So they said the same thing. So they bust into the apartment. It's a very small apartment, and when they bust in, they can see him on his bed with a gun to his head, and he shoots and kills himself.
Oh, what a coward! What a coward!
I knew it! I knew it!
They end up finding a suicide letter that he had written back in 2016 when they had come to visit him the first time. And this whole thing, it mentions nothing of Arliss's murder. And so there are no answers for her family.
The police
are calling this case closed, but there's really no closure. We don't know why he did it. We don't know why he brought the ice pick with him. Was he stalking her? Was it just a random and he happened to have it?
Yeah.
There are some other murders that happened on the campus around that same time.
Must be him, right?
So now they're thinking that perhaps he was some kind of serial killer in the
area.
Whoa. It's insane.
Wow, that is nuts. What a great murder. I mean, you know, it's always awful for someone to get murdered, but the story itself, it was fantastic for, you know, you to end this note
us. I love when science comes through.
Science does come through always.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers Central Indiana. You obviously are welcome back anytime here on the Joe and Alex Show. How can people stay in touch with you, connect with you?
Instagram at IndyAshFlowers, best place to follow me. And I think maybe I'll come back around Christmas and tell you guys how I think Scott Peterson is innocent.
Ooh,
Merry
okay.
Merry Christmas.
We're
I'm
down.
Everybody. I can't believe even think he might be innocent. We'll find out more about that. Hey, Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana is a nonprofit that receives no government funding. The entire program is run off donations. They are responsible for the arrest of over 5,000 criminals in Indianapolis. All donations, by the way, are tax deductible. Help keep Indianapolis safe by donating online. Go to their website, crimetips.org. Now, I don't know what I'm more excited about here, Alex. I don't know if it's the fact that Jewel Daddy got to go meet Liv's family, and I guess they were going to try to pull a prank on him, or that I get to play this brand new Jewel Daddy song. I am legit excited as hell to press this button.
Do it.
Are you ready? Here we go.
Vape for me, Daddy.
What you looking at?
Let me see your jewel.
Let you see my what?
Your jewel.
Rob the vape store. Tell them get me a jewel.
Okay, that is straight up fire. That is the best song I've ever heard. Now you're man. You can't break up with him. We finally have a Jewel Daddy song.
I'll never break up with him just for the sake of the song.
So remind everybody what happened on Friday, Alex. We were talking about having Liv the Web Girl prank her boyfriend. We call him Jewel Daddy.
Liv is our young, wild, and free producer of the show. She's got a brand new boyfriend that she's had for about 50 seconds. And we have named him Jewel Daddy just to get y'all caught up because he likes to smoke the Jewel.
Yes.
The little electronic cigarette. So anyway, she brought him. He's met her mom, which we've talked about. She's met his parents, but he hasn't met her dad or her siblings, who are all married.
Right. I have like three brother-in-laws.
And Liv is from Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area. So she brought him all the way there over the weekend to meet the whole clan. And she was supposed to pull a prank on him. Right. Kind of get her parents and her family to call him by her ex-boyfriend's name, which we thought would be funny.
That would be so awkward if that was me and it's like, oh, hey, Donnie. I'm like, my name's Joe. I let it go like one time and it's like, hey, Donnie.
Yeah, and you were supposed to record it of your parents pulling the prank. So do you have audio for us?
Here's the thing. No. Because here's what happened.
Oh,
I know.
One job.
So here's the thing. My mom was listening to the radio when we were doing this, and my mom said, absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
You know what? Then your mom no longer can listen.
Mama C, don't be lame.
She said, I'm not going to make someone feel uncomfortable in my own home.
Okay,
I'm
what's more important? Somebody else feeling uncomfortable or Liv's career?
I was going to say, can you believe it? Your mom just cost you your job.
Exactly, mom. No, so then I was like, okay, well, maybe I can get my brother-in-laws to still go in on it because they just would. Turns out Jewel Daddy is a very supportive boyfriend and listens to the podcast when he can't listen to it.
You know
live.
What? Damn your friends, family, and boyfriend for being so supportive of you and loving you and listening to the show you're on.
No, I'm so upset.
I hate to say damn your mom, but shame on her for not going along if she knows it's a joke. Nobody's
gonna
get hurt.
She got nervous. And so Jewel Daddy found out about the prank before it even happened.
Ugh.
And he knew it was going to happen. And also, he thought it was going to be hilarious. He was like, that would be so funny. I would love that. But my one brother-in-law, Brad, did call him my ex's name.
Thank you, Brad, for taking one for the team.
But I didn't know he was going to do it. But he did say, it's Nevin, right? And Jewel Daddy started dying laughing because that's my ex's name. And he thought it was really funny. So
then everybody liked him or nobody liked him?
Nobody liked him at all.
Broken
up. No, I'm just
finally
kidding.
Something juicy.
I'm just kidding. No, everyone liked him. He was sick though yesterday, so I felt kind of bad because I mean you could just tell that he was like a little run down and tired, but he made a really good first impression.
Was it from being drunk the night before he was hungover?
No, he's had like a serious sinus infection. He's been like bleeding out of his ears.
Dude, let me
Where?
He's been like bleeding out of his ears.
You don't bleed out of your ears.
That doesn't seem normal. Can we get this kid an ear, nose, and throat doctor?
Please.
It must be all the jewels.
It was cool though, Alex, because what he did is he had this Jewel vape come right out of his ears and his nose.
Yikes.
It was so sweet.
No, he's going to the doctor today. It's fine. He just is like has a lot of allergies.
R.I.P. Jewel Daddy.
Well, I've been there because the very, very first time that I was supposed to meet the Egyptians, all of his best friends, like childhood best friends and stuff, we were celebrating his birthday, going out to dinner and then going to Punch Bowl when we very first started dating. And he'd invited me to go and he told me this was so important to him. And I had a sinus infection and like a slight fever, was so sick. So sick. Mm-hmm. I felt like I couldn't even walk, let alone hold a conversation. And I went anyway because I knew how important it was to him. And that meant a lot to him. And nobody ended up getting sick off of me, which was miraculous.
Wait a minute. You're the person that says don't go anywhere, especially to work if
you're
sick.
That was the one time. Trust me, I did not want to go. And I kept hoping that he was going to say I didn't have to. But I was so freaking sick. So sick. So I know how he must have been feeling.
Right.
So that says a lot that he was still willing to go.
Yeah, and he still wanted to go. And I even offered that he didn't have to. And he was like, I would never miss it.
Is there any more big obstacles, I guess, than for Jewel Daddy as far as meeting people? Like, who else is left that he needs to meet?
Us? Well, yes, he has to meet you.
Joe
met him.
I was drunk, though, so I don't remember.
I gave you homework. To get a photo so that you could post it of you and Jewel Daddy.
Alex,
Joe and Alex show on Instagram.
Are you kidding me?
In the world.
Liv, what kind of producer are you? We gave you two things we needed. We needed audio of the prank. We needed a photo of you and Jewel Daddy.
I know. I forgot about the photo.
I think we have to fire Liv.
Liv!
We have to fire her right now.
You're going to have to get a photo of just him and post it so the people can see.
I will get a photo with him.
Just
today.
Now here's what you'll do,
because
she's not going to. Do it because people want to see the photo now. Just do a photo of you and like Photoshop a jewel next to you. Like you're hugging
perfect.
A jewel or something.
Perfect. No.
we want to see what he looks like.
Okay, I'll get a photo for you. But I will say he has to meet my friend, Brooke, and I'm so scared for that.
Why?
Yikes.
So scared
she
for that.
She not nice?
I love my best friend, Brooke, but she can be very judgmental and she just wants the absolute best for me and she doesn't trust anyone.
Well, that's good. You need some more people like that on your team.
She does not trust anyone until you prove that she can trust you.
That sounds good to me.
I trust
everyone. She's got trust issues. All right.
I like her.
So I'm really scared for that to happen. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I'm nervous.
So, okay. So as we wrap up here, let's just restate one goal for the next time we talk about Jewel Daddy, and that is...
Get a photo of with Jewel Daddy.
Yes.
Yay. All okay. right. Thank you, Liv.
We're glad it went well.
Thank you, Liv, for the Jewel Daddy update.
Pay for me, Daddy.
What you looking at?
Let me see your jewel.
Let you see my what?
Your jewel. Your jewel.
Rob the vape store. Tell them, get me a jewel.
Okay, what would you do if this happened to you? This is kind of an interesting story right here. And I'm probably going to be on my own here. A Long Island funeral home gave the ashes of a dad who had passed away. They gave it to the wrong grieving family, who then traveled thousands of miles to scatter those remains. The funeral home accidentally mixed up the remains with different deceased man who had the same last name. So that's where the mix-up happened. Like, the last name was Smith and Smith, and they mixed it up. By the time they figured it out, it's too late. The family had already taken their dad's remains and spread them, like, over in India. Because they were both Indian families, so...
This is how you fix this. You lick your finger.
Okay.
You stick it in the pot.
Okay.
You lick your finger again.
Okay.
If it doesn't taste like dad, it must not be him.
So you know what your dad tastes like then?
Well, doesn't every... You know how every house that you walk into is a distinct smell?
Right.
Every family has a smell. Doesn't every family probably have a taste?
I'd assume so. What would your family taste like?
My family... Well, my mom likes to make a lot of hamburgers. She makes a lot of hamburgers.
Ground beef.
So I'm going to guess that we would taste like that.
Liv would be like oatmeal.
Liv would
now,
be tofu turkey.
Ours would be like salmon.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Mine would taste like
Lunchables.
Yeah. Maybe a hot pocket in there, some Totitos, some pizza rolls. But could you imagine that, though? Like, you mix up the ashes and dad's gone or mom's gone or grandpa's gone. Here's my thing. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Why?
Because, like, because they're going to sue the funeral home now. But my point is, it's like ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Like, we're all the same thing. Like, you couldn't tell if Alex and I were next to each other. You couldn't tell, like, these are Joe's ashes and these are Alex's ashes.
Yeah, you could.
How?
Mine will have glitter in them.
No, they wouldn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they would.
Would you be that upset, though? You'd actually go sue right there? I don't think it's that big of a deal.
No, I just haunt your ass.
I think that the funeral home should have never even told them.
Oh, exactly.
They could have easily gotten away with
that. Yeah, that's true.
He just went out in the back and grabbed some dirt and dried it out a little bit. So it's just like dust everywhere. So
yeah, some mulch.
I feel bad for the family, but at the end of the day, it's like, come on. Like, who cares? It's like, let the person go. Go through that other person's ashes everywhere. I thought about it. My dad passed away, and he was cremated, and he didn't really say, like, what he wanted to be done. Like, hey, spread me here, spread me there. I was going to, like, we wanted to maybe spread his ashes at the lake or different places. But did you know when it comes to those things, like ashes, you could put them in, like, a little locket, like you can carry it around?
I've heard of
Some
that.
People get, tattooed in the ink. They have the ashes in there.
I'm going to say no to that.
No
What
way.
About this, though? I think it would be kind of cool. Maybe, like, you could put it into a shotgun shell, and you could go, like, shoot targets with it, like, into a bullet.
I think that's stupid.
That's very redneck.
Okay, but come on.
If you're into it, I'm not into it. That wouldn't be sentimental to me.
Yeah.
Like, I understand the tattoo because it's with you forever, or a locket, it's with you forever. Why would you just want to waste it in a shotgun
bullet? Well, my whole point is, I guess, is this. It's like, because we still, like, have my dad's ashes, and I'm like, why do we have them? Like, we should bury them or do something. I don't get the point of
You should sprinkle them somewhere that your dad would have liked. Like on a red velvet cake.
Like the bar and the strip club and that other lady's house when he was... No, I'm just kidding.
Sure, sprinkle him at the strip club.
I just don't get, like, isn't it weird to you? And I don't mean to insult anybody, but isn't it weird, like, you think, like, people actually had, like, ashes in an urn at their house?
No, I don't think that's weird. That's Pop or it's Mom. That's Grandma.
Weird.
I don't think that's weird.
You don't think that's weird at all?
I don't think it's weird.
I don't think you have a problem. I'm not saying you have, like, some mental issue. I'm just, when you actually think about it, like, oh my God. Like, you don't keep, like, if you didn't get, cremated, you don't keep, like, Grandpa propped up in a bedroom in a closet like he's a vampire or something.
But that's scary.
I don't know. I don't think it's weird to keep ashes.
I just think it's a little bit weird. For me, though, the one thing I'd probably want to do, you know, they can put you into fireworks.
No way.
And the 4th of July is not even my favorite holiday, even though I'm very American as can be.
Not that much if it's not your favorite holiday.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
It's a close second right there.
My favorite.
But how badass would it be? Alex, imagine that. You get cremated, you get shot up in there, like...
See, but I would just like, but then my ashes are falling somewhere, and so it just depends on where they're falling.
You could be everywhere. You could make people happy. Good morning, Joe and Alex. So who's this?
This is Tabitha.
Hey, Tabitha, what do you think? Do you think it's kind of weird to keep ashes around or no?
I don't, actually. I had a request from my mom before she died that I was sworn to keep them in my house at all times.
Where are the ashes kept?
They are kept in a locked cabinet in my living room.
Are you going to keep them forever? I mean, doesn't that feel weird to you or no? Do you feel like mom's with you?
I feel like my mom's with me always.
Yeah. Aww. Think about, like, This Is Us, you
know?
Do
you have kids?
I do, yeah. That was a big reason.
Do they know that, like, grandma's in the drawer?
No. They don't understand that. They're 7 and 5.
Okay.
You know
okay.
You should do at Christmas? You know how they have, like, Elf on a shelf? You should have, like, Ash on a shelf or something. Like, grandma's watching you.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Anybody? Nope.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it might be a little creepy.
Yeah, they not all the jokes can work. Sometimes you swing and you miss. All right, well, hey, thanks for calling in this morning. It is the Joe and Alex Show, and well, what a situation we find ourselves in today. If you missed what happened last week around this time here on the Joe and Alex Show, we got a call, and this is a question that a listener had for me, kind of a proposition.
This is my idea. It's like, my wife is similar to you. Like, she doesn't have a lot of sex drive or anything like that. And I've, like, been having this fantasy about Lindsay. And like I said, my wife is cool about it, man. She's like, she's actually glad that I haven't been bugging her and stuff about, you know, getting in bed with her.
So what's your question?
Well, I wanted to know if maybe you wanted to do, like, a little celebrity wife swap thing.
Oh, my God.
I don't like want a relationship with Lindsay or anything. I mean, I love my wife, obviously, and
yeah,
I know
obviously.
You love yours. So it's kind of just like I kind of want to do like a one night stand, like, you know, wham bam thank you ma'am kind of thing.
Oh my word!
And that's where we left off on Friday. Our wham bam thank you ma'am. This guy wants to hook up with my wife.
That was juicy. Like that was. Juicy.
That was one of my favorite things, I think, to ever happen on air.
It was just insane.
It is just something that I was not expecting, and my wife definitely wasn't either.
Yes, I'm dying to know all weekend. I wanted to know what Lindsay thought of that guy and his proposition.
Well, usually my wife, she listens to the podcast all the time because she sometimes, you know, is busy and can't listen live to the show. She'll just go to the website radio9nd.com and check out our podcast on the Joe and Alex Show tab. And she didn't say anything about it on Friday. Which is weird.
And you didn't bring it up?
No.
Maybe she was waiting for you to bring it up.
I don't think she was waiting for me to bring it up. But then Saturday rolled around and we had a discussion as we were heading to Evansville for a wedding. And she's like, yeah, I'm not going to entertain that idea. So, and I tried to get my wife to come on because, you know, we try to have our significant others on the show as much. And
yeah, I want to hear from her.
Well,
can you call her again and see if she'll answer?
You're not going to. You're not going to hear from her. I've texted her twice.
Why?
You really want me to try to call her right now? This is going to put me in the doghouse more.
Yes. Why are you in the doghouse now? Because of that guy?
I don't know. I guess she's... My wife's... You know me. It's hard to embarrass me. Even if things are awkward, I don't feel that embarrassed about it.
Right. Yeah.
My wife is very modest, and she gets embarrassed very easily.
So she's mad?
So she's, like, embarrassed by this?
Well, I don't think she wants to talk about sex in general.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, on the air.
Well, we should probably call her and ask her why she doesn't want to talk about it.
All right. Well, another genius idea you two come up with.
Oh, my God.
I need to know.
She's not going to pick up. I mean, I hope she does, but
well,
I doubt
she can't
it.
Be mad at you. It was that guy, that creepy guy
that
called.
I think that was a sent to voicemail. Pretty sure that's what that was.
Still ringing. Man, she really is cold.
Hey, take it easy. I'm pretty sure she sent us to voicemail.
No, it would go straight to voicemail then.
You've reached Lindsay's voicemail.
Yeah, she just didn't want to answer.
So, that being said,
I don't understand why she's mad at you for
maybe
that guy calling.
She's not mad, she's just uncomfortable because she
doesn't
want to talk about sex on air.
Right.
Live on
and I think
air.
She's just kind of like, why would you put me on to talk about that?
But, because I want to know what she had to say. So, what did she had to have said more about it? I mean, was she at least, did you ask her, like, are you flattered at all that he like thinks you're that pretty and smart?
Well, that's a good question. And 317-239-1009, I'm wondering wondering if anybody's actually ever done kind of a wife or a husband swap thing, and how did that work out for you? Good idea, bad idea? Because I'm not saying I'm against trying it.
Wait a minute. So now you're wanting Lindsay to come around? You want to do it?
No, I don't want to put pressure on my wife. I'm just saying I am... I mean, I
were very against it on Friday. Now you seem like you've been thinking about it.
Well, I did. I thought about it all weekend. My wife, absolutely not. I don't think she'd be down with it.
You know what I think?
What do you think?
I think the more resistant Lindsay is with it, the more you're like, well, maybe we should try it.
Yeah,
just
that is
to kind of, you know, ruffle the feathers a little bit.
Liv,
oh,
the
I did
web
not
girl,
push her into anything.
Liv the web girl has a major point. You are the king of, if somebody doesn't like it or says no, then you automatically want to do the opposite.
Like, well,
even if that's truly,
should.
Yeah, even if that's truly not what you want, you just want to do it to spite somebody else.
You're talking about yourself, first of all.
No,
you.
That's you,
no,
Joe.
That is Alex,
no,
100%.
It is not.
If I want you
it
to do
not.
A, you'll do B.
I think we can all be guilty of it sometimes, but Joe, you do it.
That's not even true.
That is your main thing, yeah.
Example?
Every day. Every day during the show, you do it. So what I'm saying is
I'm just looking out for the interest of the show.
No, I think that Liv the Web Girl has a point. I think Friday you were like, absolutely not. Then you heard Lindsay wasn't down, and now you're like, well, come on, Lindsay. Don't be such a party pooper.
No, just like, well, maybe let's just see what people say about it. Like, you're starting to open up your mind to it just because Lindsay was like, absolutely not.
Well,
I don't think you would ever force her in anything.
No, of course not.
Obviously.
But you need to have an open mind, though, in life.
What happened to this on Friday? On Friday, you're like, absolutely not. No.
You like hung up.
I'm against it.
Well, I was
closed,
and guess what? Hi, my name's Joe. I was closed-minded on Friday.
Okay.
This is ridiculous.
You are just... I don't understand.
What do you not understand? I think it's pretty straightforward.
Pick a side.
You're allowed to be on one side and another. Your views and opinions can change. I actually like people that have different viewpoints and don't stick to the same thing.
So this guy said that he was going to friend request you on Facebook. Did you accept his friend request on Friday?
I did not.
Okay, so did you click deny or is he just sitting
He's sitting there in Facebook friend queue.
Okay.
Or purgatory.
So you're
like, I might confirm, I might deny.
Did you look on his profile? Did you see what his wife looked like?
I didn't see a picture of his wife, but he's a good looking dude.
Is he hot? Like, is he like a good, he's okay or hot?
Is he better looking than you?
Better looking than me, for sure.
So does that
he's
make you
fat.
Insecure?
No, it's weird. Like, my wife, out of every girl, I've been an insecure guy like my whole life, an insecure guy. But something with Lindsay, ever since I met her, like, I know she's hotter than me and she could do better than me, but I just feel confident. Like, I feel like if she is going to cheat, so be it. Good morning, Joe and Alex Show. Who's this?
This is Kaylee.
Kaylee, you don't have to be that guy's wife, do you?
No.
Okay, what do you think?
No, I just think... Honestly, I think that's a really healthy thing in a relationship to be okay with. Just because the only reason you would say no, I would think, would be because you are afraid your spouse or significant other would leave you. So I think if you're in a really strong relationship and your spouse agrees to doing something like that, the only reason you wouldn't be okay with it is because... you know, insecurity or jealousy.
That is a hot, steaming pile of garbage, Kaylee. Hot, steaming pile of garbage.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever done, like,
a
boyfriend, wife, whatever swap?
No, but if my boyfriend were to say, hey, you know, I don't have feelings for this woman, but I want to explore sexually with her, I would be like, okay, you need to do what you got to do. Like, I'm not going to hold you back from exploring.
Amen.
Like,
I actually think you think that makes you stronger and more secure as a person. I actually think that makes you more insecure as a person because I think that you don't recognize your own self-worth if you're willing to let your man walk out on you like that willingly.
I have a question. Are you
walking out at all, though? I mean, I think that that shows that at the end of the day, you know, he can do whatever with whomever and he's still coming home to me, honey.
That
you
is
know,
a
like,
fast way to catch an STD.
Are you...
Well, she didn't say unprotected.
Are you in a relationship right now?
Yeah, 2 years.
How long? Oh, 2 years. Okay.
And you've never... Wait, so you guys have never had the conversation, you and your man, about you would be open to the idea of him being with another woman if he wanted to. You've never told him this before?
Oh, yeah. No, he knows.
Oh, so... And he hasn't taken you up on it?
No, he just hasn't had the interest. Neither have I, but if the matter arose, you know, I would, because life is too short to not experience what you want to experience. And as much as people say, you know, they only want to be with one person, they only ever want to experience you know, sex with one person. It's just not true. You know, humans are really intimate beings, and I don't think that, most of all, I don't think that we're mainly monogamous beings.
So should Joe keep working on trying to convince Lindsay or what?
No, if she's not comfortable with it, then that's not
please,
something she wants to do.
Somebody's just tuning in right now and saying, oh my God, Joe's trying to convince his wife to sleep with somebody else. No, a listener called in last Friday, said, hey, would you be interested in doing a wife swap? I never brought this up.
If you missed last Friday and you didn't hear the podcast, you need to go back the Joe and Alex Show on iTunes podcast and listen to that, because it's just absolutely unreal.
Hey, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
That was interesting. I didn't expect to hear that perspective right there.
Please just say on the air what you just said off the air.
Nope, there's a reason I didn't say that.
No, say it on the air, Joe.
There's a reason I didn't say that, because the mics weren't on.
Here's what he said.
I didn't know.
We are off air during that commercial, and no. Joe says, sometimes I wish my wife Lindsay was just my girlfriend so that I could push her harder and say all the stuff I want to say about her on the air, and then worst case scenario, she just breaks up with
me. Okay, listen, that's not exactly... See,
that's literally what he said, and I'm cringing right now.
But see, that's going to be interpreted the wrong way, and that's why I didn't say it on air. That's why I didn't say that. Love you, Lindsay. My point is simply that work wives, radio wives, and husbands, and boyfriends, and girlfriends, they have their whole life and their whole family hears things. Look at Liv with your mom hearing everything. It's like, right. Oh my God, don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah, I just told my parents, like, I don't care. They don't like half the stuff I say on the air, but I just told them they just need to not listen anymore. So they stopped listening years ago.
No,
because they get very uncomfortable with stuff we talk about.
I just feel bad about Lindsay because, like, for me, I'm an open book. This is therapy for me talking about everything. But for her, she's like, I don't want to talk about our sex life.
You do need therapy. Therapy.
And it sucked. No, our marriage is actually doing good. 3 years on the 29th, by the way.
So I want to know, there are a lot of people on hold that heard us talking about, the reason we're talking about all the stuff with your marriage is that last Friday, this guy named Neil called in and had a proposal for you and your wife, which is he wanted to do a wife swap. He wanted you to spend the evening with his wife. He said, though, that she doesn't actually want to do anything, just hang out. You can watch Handmaid's Tale or something. And then him and your wife, though, are going to get it on. He said he has a mad crush on your wife, Lindsay, and is wanting to get with her. He thinks she's so nerdy, so hot, and has a thing for her.
If they're going to do that, then we're going to watch Handy Tale. It's a similar movie to The Handmaid's Tale.
And so we kind of gave a little bit of an update today of asking you, well, what did Lindsay say about her over the weekend? You pretty much said she didn't really say anything.
She just said no. No, not interested.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the latest text I've got. Anonymous on the Joe and Alex Show. What did you want to say?
I just feel super bad for Lindsay.
In what way?
Because told you that she's not comfortable with it, and now this entire last 20 minutes has been about it, and you're kind of like saying that you're into it, but you know that she's not. So I don't know, I feel like you should just respect that and not be talking about it. And it's not that I don't like you, I really do like you, but this is making me super uncomfortable.
No, but here's my thing though, here's where I'm uncomfortable. Did you not hear the part? I didn't bring this idea up.
Listener called in said
hey, I think your wife, whatever, like kind of like a stalker because he knew everything about her, which I'm glad people listen. And I was just like, no, absolutely not. But I'm just saying but at the same time, listen.
Well, we needed an update, so that's why we had to bring it up again. We had to know what Lindsay thought.
I am comfortable enough as a husband that if my wife was interested in that, I would like to at least hear her out. I'm not saying I'd go along with it. Probably not. But I don't think that makes me bad. I just don't want it to look like I'm the one trying to put my wife. Like, I don't want to hook up with another
woman. What is the answer? Now you're saying I probably wouldn't go along with it. That's what you said Friday. But then a couple minutes ago, you said you would be open to it if Lindsay was open to it.
It's all Lindsay's choice. And she already said, no, not interested.
But then you're like, well, maybe we should explore it a little bit more.
You're being a John Kerry flip-flopper here. You keep changing. What is your stance? Your stance is if Lindsay was open, I'd be open, or whether Lindsay is open to it or not,
if
I'm not.
If Lindsay wanted it or was interested in it, I would say let's find out more information. Send me details. But obviously she's not, so it's kind of dead in the water.
Okay.
Listen, our goal, thank you, by the way, Anonymous, our goal is to connect and make connections with our listeners and make you feel like you're part of the show. We need ratings to keep our job, so I don't want to turn a listener down.
What listener? The guy?
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be single by the end of that if you do that.
I'm a people pleaser. Guy, you're on the Joe and Alex show.
You should have thrown your own body on the grenade. You should ask Neil if you would have been the next best thing to Lindsay. If Lindsay says no, if you could just stand
Listen,
in for her.
I'm a hot piece. All the gays want me. I can't be there for everybody. Guy, you're on the Joe and Alex show. What's up?
All right. So you obviously got the lady, the first anonymous lady, to call in about the sore subject. Even though she might not like you at the moment, she still called in. I do agree with her that it is kind of being put on blast, but it's for the ratings and the show. You kind of hit a nail on the head by saying it's dead in the water. You did kind of dig yourself a sandbox and threw the shovel out. but that's part of the show. I think that you talking about it after it being brought up by someone outside of the relationship is a different story than the guy going to a girl and offering it, or the girl, if the girl comes to the guy and offers saying, you know, hey, what would you think of this? You turn around and run. That is a trap.
I don't understand.
Guy's a good point. It'd be different. I was like, hey, Lindsay, let's do a wife swap. Like, I wouldn't do that. And I have never brought that up since I've dated Lindsay over 6 years and been married for three. I never been like, hey, why don't we have a threesome? Like, I wouldn't do that. Now, if Lindsay came to me, I'd be like, hell yeah. Unless it was like an Eiffel Tower. I am not down with the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, my God.
No, thank you. Kelsey on the Joe and Alex show. Let's take one more call with you. What did you want to say?
Hi. So I just think that this whole thing is absolutely insane.
Did you listen last Friday, Kelsey?
I did. I listened for a little bit. I wasn't able to listen to the whole thing. But it's crazy. The fact that this guy even knows all this information about your wife is weird.
Yeah.
Well, not really. Real quick, I'm going to let you finish, but I don't think, first of all, because we meet people all the time, I love that you listen to the show, and if you know my wife Lindsay was on Jeopardy, that's cool. If you know my dog's names are Benny and Paddington and that they go to Camp Bow Wow Lawrence, like, that's cool. I don't think any of that stuff's weird. It just means you listen.
I don't know. I just don't, if somebody came to my husband and was like, hey, I want to do a wife swap, and then started, like, giving out all this information about me, one, he would probably beat the crap out of the person because that's just weird. But I just think it's, I don't know, I think it's weird because, you know, say that you did do this and your wife ended up liking sex with this guy better.
Oh, she probably would. Like, to be honest, I'm probably the least desirable guy in Indy. I mean,
I doubt that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. This is getting awkward. But Kelsey, you bring up some interesting points.
I mean, it would crush you if she was just like, hey, I'm going to leave you now for this guy because it was just something that you guys were just trying to have fun with.
Yeah.
And it turned into a big nightmare. So, I mean, when you get married, you vow to be that with that one person.
Well, ours had a wife swap clause in it.
No, it did not.
No, just kidding. Kelsey, thank you for calling in. Let's do it right now so we're clear. We are officially closing the book as of now. Of a wife swap happening. It's not going to happen. My wife's not interested.
Stop trying to make wife swap happen. It's never going to happen.
Gotta go to the doctors, do a little checkup, see how things are doing.
Got a cough?
Yeah, thank gosh I'm not at that age yet where I have to actually go in there and, you know, have them poke around.
Yeah, that's not fun.
A few more years I get to wait for that. Hey, if you missed anything on the show today, make sure you check it out at RadioNowIndy.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @JoeAndAlexShow. Have a wonderful Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Goodbye. Bye.